It is good to be worshiping with you all in person and online as well. And we are grateful for Hunter's faith and his public profession of that faith in the waters of baptism. We're in a sermon series called Holistic Missions. We're looking at many of the different dimensions of the mission that God has given us as Christian people. And today I want to focus on Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and the title of my sermon is Standing at the Threshold. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let us pray. Oh God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The end of Luke's gospel reports that the disciples were continually in the temple blessing God. So it comes as no surprise that early in the book of Acts, we find John and Peter heading up to the temple at the hour of worship. Just as they are about to enter the 3 o'clock prayer service, they encounter a man who has been lame since birth. He is lying in his usual begging spot, asking people for alms. Given his physical limitations, he would have been hard-pressed to find a job in the ancient economy, which was focused on manual labor. However, he could expect a decent take of coins begging at the temple, especially since almsgiving was an important aspect of Jewish piety. We know it was Peter and John's routine to worship at the temple, and we know it was this man's routine to beg for alms right there at that spot by the temple. And so we can safely presume that Peter and John had passed this guy several times before. Here we go again, same guy, same place, same begging, same alms. But on this particular day, Peter and John stopped to face him right at the threshold of the sanctuary. Now, in order to understand the profound implications of this singular encounter, let us observe together how Peter and John were standing at the threshold. Specifically, I want to suggest that they were standing at the threshold in three different senses. First, they were standing at the threshold of worship and ethic. As they were about to enter worship, they saw a neighbor in need. God's people cannot enter the sanctuary without attending to human need. Our devotion to God cannot be divorced from our care for neighbors. Worship and ethics are no more detachable than the two great commandments that Jesus put together: love God, love your neighbor. As Peter and John paused at the threshold of the sanctuary, maybe Isaiah 1 was ringing in their ears, where God says, "I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed." Maybe it was the teaching of Christ in Matthew 25:40 that was ringing in their ears: "Just as you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Maybe the prompting of the Holy Spirit is what gave them pause, for the Holy Spirit had just recently swooped down upon the church at Pentecost. In any case, at the threshold of the worship space is where Peter and John took ethical action. They demonstrate that when the Holy Spirit inspires the church, believers hold together the worship of God and the care of neighbor. In this vein, theologian Gordon Lathrop offers the image of holding Leviticus and Amos together. It makes sense since these books are in the same Bible. In this image, the book of Leviticus represents ceremonial Sunday worship, because Leviticus outlines ritual after ritual after ritual. And Amos represents ethical action, because Amos criticizes those who attend worship services while mistreating the impoverished. Peter and John show us how to hold Leviticus and Amos together. They show us that we cannot separate being a Christian in the sanctuary from being a Christian in society. The door to the church swings both ways. At a church I used to serve, one Sunday morning, as people were coming in to worship, a homeless person's bedding and blankets were strewn across the ground right in front of one of the main entrances to the worship space. Although she was not around when people were filing in for Sunday services, they had a similar experience to what Peter and John experienced, because the depths of human need were on display right at the threshold of the sanctuary. It was a stark reminder for everyone that Christians cannot worship God without taking ethical action to address human need. Let us now turn our attention to the second way that Peter and John were standing at the threshold. As they encountered this lame man begging at the entrance of the worship service, they were standing at the threshold between socioeconomic diversity and human equality. It's uncanny how social class functions to divide people and obscure our common humanity. It seems a widespread impulse to associate with people of our own social class and to disassociate with people of other social classes. But Peter and John will have none of it. They've walked by this guy too many times without noticing the contours of his face. They've tossed him alms too many times without once bothering to show genuine concern for him. And on this particular day, verse 4 says, they looked intently at him. The Greek terminology indicates that they fixed their eyes upon this man. They didn't glance at him. They gazed at him. They saw the color of his eyes and the wrinkles in his forehead. For once, they truly saw this man for who he was. All the other temple worshipers bustling about fade into the blurry background as Peter and John stare intently at this one man. The human differences are clear. One of them is economically and physically at a disadvantage, while the other two are not. Yet their human equality is clear too. I think Peter and John saw more in this man's face than a moral imperative to help him. I think they saw in his weakness their own frailty. I think they saw in his deprivation their own deep needs. I think they saw in his obvious vulnerability their own hidden vulnerability. I think they saw in this man something like a mirror, a person bearing the image of the same God. When we pause to see the image of God in persons of various social classes, we see how clothes and cars and neighborhoods and salaries function to disguise the fundamental likeness of human beings. I think Peter and John saw that the man needed them and that they needed him. I think they saw that a relationship was in order, not just alms. I think they saw a person, not a project. Peter said to the man, "Look at us." This is not Peter and John looking down on a crippled beggar, nor is it he looking up to them. It is a moment of mutuality that confounds the routine choreography of the social system. This is a moment in which the men all look at each other. They see each other. They enter into relationship face to face. The bi-directional gaze between the man and the disciples signals equality. It suggests that each has something to see in the other, that each has something to learn from the other, that I am not fully I without you, and you are not fully you without me. These three men are standing at the threshold, an entryway to a new way of being, a corridor to a whole new genre of community. One of the first things the Spirit inspires the church to do is to see people, to really see them and attend to them as sacred beings created in the very image of God. In her book entitled The Gravity of Joy, Professor Angela Williams Gorrell tells a story about a women's Bible study she helped lead inside a prison. Amid the dehumanizing conditions of this prison, she asked the women one evening, "Who has been good to you?" An inmate named Teresa quickly responded that the Bible study leaders had been good to her. She said, "You use our first names. You listen to us. You care about and see us. Every Wednesday night, I get a little bit of my dignity back." To see someone, to really see people in their full humanity, is to confer dignity and to demonstrate love. Instead of mindlessly tossing change at the man with eyes averted elsewhere, Peter and John see him. They show how the equality of individuals under God in the worship space can pour out the door into life and witness. Now we come to the third key observation in our text. When Peter and John encounter the man lame from birth, begging at the entrance of the sanctuary, not only are they standing at the threshold between worship and ethics. Not only are they standing at the threshold between socioeconomic diversity and human equality, but they are also standing at the threshold between charity and empowerment. Charity is a gift offered for the temporary relief of people in need. Charity can be helpful. It can be crucial. It can even save people's lives. But charity ultimately maintains the hierarchy between giver and recipient. Empowerment, on the other hand, equips people and resources people in order to liberate them from the grip of poverty. Peter says to this man, in a great line, I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Then Peter takes him by the hand and raises him up. The reason Peter has no silver or gold is not because he was destitute. It's because, as Acts 2 has already told us, the early Christians shared all of their belongings in common so that each one would have enough. Although Peter doesn't have any cash on him, he offers something far better. If ever there were a biblical picture of offering a hand up instead of a hand out, it's right here. Through word and through deed, Peter reaches out to the man and raises him up in the name of the risen Christ. He lifts him from the familiar dust of his begging spot. He elevates him from a debilitating condition. He raises him up literally and figuratively, physically and economically, socially and spiritually. Now, I don't want to overlook the miracle here. I believe Peter channeled the authority of the resurrected Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit of God to miraculously heal this man. But I want us to perceive Peter's great act of healing in broader terms, especially since the miracle working of the early apostles is not normative in today's church. Specifically, I want us to see how he gave the lame man the ability to support himself through means other than begging. It's unlikely that he could have continued to be as successful at begging as an able-bodied individual, especially since everybody there that day saw him walking and even jumping around. But it's more likely that he would have been able to find work in an ancient economy centered on manual labor. This reminds me of Steve Corbett and Brian Feikert's study entitled Helping Without Hurting in Short-Term Missions. Corbett and Feikert focus on the difference between offering temporary relief and offering long-term empowerment. They commend an approach that avoids doing things for others and instead emphasizes doing things with others. This approach avoids paternalism and empowers people to participate in their own progress. Corbett and Feikert's proposal also emphasizes the importance of building relationships. Instead of merely transferring funds, we can enter into relationship and lift others up. We can learn from one another and contribute to one another's development. Of course, this approach is not quick or easy or a one-and-done scenario, even though Peter's miracle was instantaneous. For us, it'll be more like what the Apostle Paul described in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very lives as well. We do not undermine the ministry of charity because charity is crucial and it must continue. But we can lift our sights and live more fully into the Christian mission exemplified by the early apostles by seeking to empower people in the context of relationship rather than settling for charitable transactions at a distance. In terms of Peter and John's empowerment of this particular man, the results speak for themselves. The man who had been lame since birth ended up walking around with newfound strength in his feet. He was even leaping about, praising God, fulfilling the great prophecy in Isaiah 35, 6. The lame shall leap like a deer. And where did he go with his newly empowered legs? Where was the first place he walked right after he had learned to walk? He walked inside the temple with Peter and John. He joined in with the worshiping community. He went to praise the God who had empowered him and given him new life. After that worship service, I suppose these three men would have left together, and I imagine they crossed the same threshold they passed upon entry. In just a few moments, we too will leave this beautiful house of worship. We will exit the church doors and cross over the threshold of this sacred building. When we do, let us remember that we too are standing at the threshold between worship and ethics, standing at the threshold between socioeconomic diversity and human equality, standing at the threshold between charity and empowerment, standing in the strength of our resurrected Savior, standing in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. For every time we leave this place of worship, we worshipers become missionaries. Amen.